Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Our teaching this Tuesday will encourage you to rise up and to do the work of an evangelist with zeal and urgency. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you about the importance of soul winning and being just like Jesus Christ, whose main aim was to seek and save the lost. Our teaching this Tuesday will encourage you to rise up and to do the work of an evangelist with zeal and urgency. From today's word, you will discover what it takes to be a soul winner and the purpose and value it adds to your Christianity. Be encouraged to win even more souls for the kingdom of God after today's message.
Nothing could hold you back, my Lord. You did everything to reach me. Jesus. my Savior, Jesus my teacher. Jesus my Savior, Jesus my shepherd. Hard to reach me, I almost slipped out of your hand. Oh, no. But you held me oh so tight. Now I'm yours forever and forevermore.
Ooh. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Do your breakfast meetings,
Let's go witnessing from soul to soul. Let us go from door to door. Don't stop preaching house to house, from person to person. Light. Winning souls for Jesus. Do the crusades, just do it. Keep doing it. Go all out, all out. Ooh, going to the world. Go all out,
all out.
Go to every nation. Do not leave any nation out. Millions of souls are waiting. No, you must not let them down. They're waiting and waiting.
All out.
Winning souls for Jesus. Do the work of God. Just do it. Keep doing it. Go all out. All out. Ooh, going to the world. Go all out.
All out.
Go all out.
Hallelujah. Are you ready to go all out?
Yes.
Beautiful. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Guide us by your mighty Holy Spirit. Lead us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I was sharing about how the Bible says, teaches us that the armor of God is our defense against things we cannot see, invisible enemies. And difficult to imagine them, difficult to imagine them, I must say. Why do I say that? Because a legion was 6,200 or so soldiers. And the demon that was cast out of the madman was a legion. And he said, because we are many. So it's like, there used to be a question that how many spirits can fit onto your fingertip? Because it's 6,000 can fit into one man. It's difficult to sort of imagine how big they are. The spatial plan. Are you with me? But all these, we have fake ideas about who exactly our enemies are. We have the word unclean spirits. We have devils. It's a different word. Then demons. It's a different word. Then we know about fallen angels. Then we know about spirits that are animals in the spirit. Lord of the flies. The devil like a lion. I saw three devils like frogs. Revelation 16. The devils that are like birds. Yesterday there was a bird outside my window. It was making a lot of noise. And it occurred to me, what is this bird is disturbing me? It was just making a whole lot of noise. And you know, it occurred to me, what is this thing? Shall I suck it or I should enjoy nature? Either of the two. All these are the invisible enemies that we are dealing with. And these things, how they attack us. I remember when I was in secondary school and my very good friend went mad. You know, very good friend. He went completely mad. And that was the end of his school and the end virtually of his life as a normal human being. And he was perfectly normal, moving along with us in school. Everything was normal. I was part of the Christian fellowship. And then he went completely mad. It was at that time that I began to wonder, how do demons get a person? You know? Because you can see that if the devil gets you to his ultimate desire is fulfilled, he will make you naked and you will walk in the street as a madman. And he was able to convert a normal person into a madman, totally mad. So it has always been important to me to defend yourself, to defend myself, and to defend myself from a mysterious enemy. Do you see? Mysterious in the sense that you don't know all about your enemy. And so you find out that Paul told us and warned, he said, put on the whole armor. Now, then he went to describe the different elements of the armor. And the elements of the armor don't sound like powerful things. To be truthful to you. What also alerted me to the reality of these parts of the armor was an encounter with a demon spirit in a boy who went completely mad when I was in school also. A different person. Completely mad. Speaking, talking, went berserk and was on the way to the mental hospital when they decided to call me, because I was a spiritual leader, I was an SU leader, decided to call me to pray for the boy, to pray before. And we were successful in casting out the devils. Now, and he became completely normal, completely, 100%, and was asking what he was doing at the place where we were praying for him. He pulled my hand and said, what's happening? I said, wait, we are praying and we'll go out. I will explain to you. I knew him. Now, at one point, the devil, the demon that was speaking using his voice like the madman of Gadara, when the demon was saying, for we are many, lead him and besought him that he would not send them out of this country. I also asked a question, what is your name? And so on. And then he said, I said, how did you come here? And then he quoted, and he said, the belt of truth was loose. Yes. It was at that point, I was shocked. I always thought that it was a metaphorical belt. But I realized then, and this was all the way in secondary school, that the Bible is literally true. You play with it, you play with truths, deceptions. You may seem to succeed for a while, as most things are. But at a point, you see that you are filled with devils. And the devils include certain devils. You see, some of the devils are occupational devils, like the occupy. They are just to occupy. And some of the devils cause attitudes and bad character traits. But some of them are implementing devils that come to implement the wages of sin. You see, some of the devils are the sins, they make you sin. And others, the other half, are the implementers of the wages. Like the Bible says in Chronicles, it says that, and Satan provoked David to sin. Satan provoked him. Yeah. He provoked David to number Israel. Now, it's not to destroy. The devils that destroy will come later. But the ones that provoke him to do evil, do you see? It's those who bring, those are the implementers of the curses that come from the things that the devil, the same type of devil, make you do. So that's why I make you lie, make you steal, make you fornicate, make you deceive, all this more complex treachery, everything, make you become something. Then those that implement the wages of the sins that these devils have made you do, Satan provoke. He said, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Yeah. There was no need to number Israel. There was no need. There was no need to number Israel. Suddenly he was doing something that was not necessary. It was not necessary at all. Thousands of people died over David's sin. That was when he was asking God, should either fall in the hand of men, or God asked him, we want to fall in men. He said, I better fall in your hand. That's why he said, let me not fall into the hand of men. Yeah. Are you listening? Yeah. Now, if you look, you'll see that sin and evil is mysterious, to say the least. Yes. And that is what he says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mysterious nature of evil doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, the one who restrains, you see, there in the mystery of iniquity, what you must realize is that there are restraining forces that prevent certain iniquities from going. If you have never committed certain sins, I will tell you that it is God's power that has helped you. Right. Oh, yes. Right. Yes. He that letteth will let. That's why it's not good to boast if you think you are clean and if you think you are strong. Yeah. I know one pastor, his fellow pastor got into difficulty. When I say difficulty, it's a range of possibilities. It's a polite way of staying. And he was, he was like a not a rival, but like an alternative to that pastor. And so the other one was really took up the thing, took it up. Said, he called him a cancer. He said, this man is a cancer in the body of Christ. Yes. He said, this man is a cancer in the body of Christ. And many other things. Now, it was some time, not so long. The crisis which befell this man, who said that this one is a cancer in the body of Christ, he even wished for the person. He should have just been quiet. Yes, because it was something. Oh, yes. I saw him weeping on television and begging. So, iniquity, it says, he who now letteth will let. There are certain angels that have stood by your side. Jacob, he described, he said, the angel of the Lord which has kept me all these years. Yes. The angel which has kept me. Karata kapasha kabaloba. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. When that spiritual and mysterious force is lifted, you will see that you are capable of many things. Karamoka. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So when God lifts, he who letteth now lets and is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked be revealed. Yes. So then you see great wickedness in man. The mystery or the mysterious elements of iniquity and sin. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And that is why you must pray for the spirit of holiness. You see, holiness is spiritual and it's a spirit. Romans 1:4, it says the spirit of holiness. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. So you be declared to be a bishop with power, or declared to be an evangelist with power, or declared to be a man of God with power according to the spirit of holiness. Holiness. It's a spirit, a mysterious spirit, not a natural ability. Don't even try. Don't even try. According to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Kamora tatipala. Yes. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the spirit of holiness. No one can do anything without a spirit. That's why devils are called unclean spirits and holy spirits. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Unclean spirit. It's unclean. It's devil. It's unholy. It's demons that are working. So, there are great mysteries surrounding your survival and surrounding your advancement and surrounding your persistence in God. The spirit of holiness. And even that is mysterious. As in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, the mystery of godliness. The mystery that godliness and to be godly is also mysterious.
Ramatopararakas. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There's no controversy about that fact, that it is a mystery. You are here in the church. Better people than you started out quoting scriptures. Higher people, more angelic, with more angelic characters. Born to Christian homes with pastors as fathers. Scripture union based. Angel virgins. Like a combination of angel and virginity. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great. And this mystery is greater than the mystery of iniquity. And it will conquer the mystery of iniquity. Yes. Because mysterious powers and mysterious forces will fight for you to be godly. And you'll be declared to be something in God by the Spirit of holiness and with power. Look at the things in that great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. It's very fantastic. Justified in the spirit. Also mystically happening. Seen of angels. Also another strange thing. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And received up into glory. These are all mysteries. And so the mystery of serving God is what Paul was trying to simplify when he started to give us elements of the armor. And that's why I said that each element doesn't look like a powerful thing. Truth, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. After all, nobody sees you. And you can commit sin and do evil for years. You know? Like, you see that somebody will do something and die suddenly. And another person will do something and live to be stronger. Yes. It's mysterious. And that mystery encourages fools. Yes. It encourages fools. Maroma kataboraba. Now, one of the greatest mysteries of godliness is evangelism. Yes. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Why do I call it a mystery? Because most of the time we don't feel ready to go and reach out. You are not going to reach out. To who? Think of yourself. Have you ever seen a congregation with people that are okay? You know, when I came to the First Love Church, at first, you know, I thought that because everybody is young, like, yeah, there are not many problems. Like, everybody is happy. But when I started to do counseling and go into the lives of people, I realized that, you know, if you take subjects like physiology or biology, we have it up to the professorial level, but you start from primary school, biology, secondary school biology, university biology, master's in biology, PhD in biology, professor of biology. So you see that if it's depression, it starts from primary. And depression, secondary, depression, there's everything that the grown-ups have, the young people also have their own version. Yes. Name the problem. You just name it, and I'll tell you the pediatric version. Yes. It's a mystery.
So now, go into the world and preach the gospel on the occasions that I have done evangelism, just using the church. When I've gone out there, do you see, to preach. You know, I can't lie to you. Many times after the outreach, the church attendance goes down. Yes, it's something that I noticed. Yeah. Like when we do an outreach, what we were trying to reach out to increase the church, then the attendance goes down. That's what I noticed. Yes. So you ask yourself, why? If I look at Healing Jesus campaign, you ask yourself that, you know, how many million dollars we have spent doing this Healing Jesus campaign? You ask yourself, how has it made the church grow? Yes. Then when you look at the cost of evangelism, try it and see. That's why there are many pastors and few evangelists. Try it and see. Many pastors and few evangelists. Now, when you go to evangelize, nobody says thank you. I mean, they say thank you, but no one can appreciate you like in a church where the pastor will be appreciated. But the evangelist, he's gone too quickly. So, and your salvation is so early, you don't appreciate it yet. Later when you appreciate it, Bonke came here 35 years ago, but he's now gone. So when you put it all together, you start to ask yourself, why the evangelism? And that is why I am sharing with you that it is a mystery. Perhaps, and even when the Bible teaches us to go and preach the gospel, it says, for a witness to the nations. For what? A witness. So that all those, all right, who should hear, will hear. And whether they are saved or not, they must be told. So evangelism presents one of the greatest spiritual acts a person can involve himself with. Yes. You really have to raise yourself to a certain level and stay there to evangelize. Yes. You have to raise yourself up to a certain level and stay at a certain level to evangelize. When the church needs a concert, it needs a drama, it needs a get-together, it needs married couples, whatever, it needs Valentine's Day, it needs Single Sunday, it needs international, whatever, it needs whatever, you talk of evangelism. So I'm just trying to explain to you that it's a very mysterious activity. And yet, when you put aside evangelism, you open the whole church to a flood of iniquity and evil. Look at all churches that are not into evangelism. Look at the points right there. Depression. Yes. The joy. He said they returned, the 70 returned with joy. There's depression. Many churches are filled with depressed people. Attacks. Because the divine protection is not there. Amen. And many other. And direction, aimlessness, polishing the same coins, going around in circles. You start, and all these things start to affect you because you are not into evangelism. I am telling you, if I'm not alive and this church is not into evangelism, it's not into crusades, it's not into evangelism, you can write it somewhere that is the mark of the end of the church. You can write it somewhere. Yes. The church may be there, but it will be a ghost. A phantom. Yes. You can write it anywhere. Look at churches which don't have... You take somebody like John Wesley. He used to have open-air crusades, even standing on graves to preach. That's John Wesley. That's the man who generated this mega church in the whole world. Yeah. Uncertainty, abominations, because it is the, what do you call it? A false balance is an abomination. So you will become an abomination. Yes. And that's why I said that. Like when I went to Rwanda, when I heard they say pastors killing people, I said, they are just, once again, making up stories. Once again, they are making up stories about churches. When I discovered more, almost every denomination had pastors who murdered people. Real murderers who are wanted. Yes. Amazing. And you see that abominations enter the church. And if you look around the world today, you will see as the churches, you will see that even sin, sin has its in levels. So you see that abominations enter and they take residence. That's why you can find today, many churches are even afraid to stand for the biblical truths of morality and holiness. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because from head to toe, it's completely covered with whatever. I don't want to even go into all that. Yes, persecution comes in like a flood. Mysterious curses and evils come for this one thing. Ramo talimbo karabadalas. Murder charge on your head. And you see pastors where it's like demons. You see, when there's a murder charge, all the police come, they say, we are arresting you. You are wanted for murder. Your feet become ugly. You are not beautiful and nice to God. Yeah. And then you rise up and begin to smite your neighbors. You smite your neighbors. Your fellow servants. Anyone who is smiting fellow pastors and fellow churches, from the Catholics who are our fathers, to the newest newborn church. Be careful. You're smiting. When your church is 100 years old, then we can hear your first comment on the Catholic Church. When I will give you only 100. So, I believe that in this revival service, I'm just recapping what I said in the morning. The mysterious defense that we have. Yes. The Bible school that Archbishop Idahosa had was a school of evangelism as he was ushering out all his students. Come on, let's all go and win souls. And they will move out and organize crusades. Certain evils could not come there. Teaching people ideas. There are many idea schools. Perhaps soul winning, when it is put aside. You see, there are two aspects. The foot and the head. The helmet of salvation and the foot of the gospel. Yeah. So from head to foot, you are finished. Yes. Yeah. Because when you talk of the helmet of salvation, you don't even know whether is it evangelism. When you talk of preparation of the gospel, it's also evangelism. So which one is evangelism? So it looks like evangelism is at the head and it's at the foot. It must be the beginning, it must be the end. At the beginning, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And at the end of his life, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So it is the head and it is the toe. It is the beginning, it is the end. It is the top, it is the bottom. And it must cover everything that we do. Yes, it is the main thing. When God led us to start the Healing Jesus campaign, it was one of the greatest blessings to the church. To the church. No, even though it was not building a church, it's the greatest blessing to the church. We have grown more. Healing Jesus is 15 years old. We have grown more in the last 15 years. I've been given so much money and time to evangelism. We have grown more as a church. The church has grown more. The church has become stronger, and it has grown in many countries. If you ask me why, have I put more effort and more money to make that? No, rather. If you ask me why I've been spending money, I'm spending money on evangelism and crusade. Yes. Yes. If you ask me, how does it help? I don't really know. The mystery of godliness. Godliness is mysterious, just as iniquity is also mysterious. Luke 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Period. What again you do? This is the principal reason for the Jesus Christ in this world. This is why I have come. I have come for this one thing. What you do? The Son of Man has come to seek and to seek, to find them, locate them, travel to them, find them where they are, seek them, and then to save them. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to those of us who believe. Mysterious. Mysterious. Taramola shabala babanda la baba. Yes. Do you want to be like Christ? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come to seek and save the lost. To be Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to seek and to save the lost yourself. If Christ, that's how Christ was, then for you to seek and save the lost is to be Christ-like. Have you wondered why your nature and your private life and your whatever is not like Christ? You are defenseless against demons. And demonic natures fill you. If you like, give yourself to soul winning, your jealousy will end. Start winning some souls. Start winning yourself, so you stop even noticing your fellow servant. And before you start acting like a devil attacking the church. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You want to be Jesus? You want to be Christian? Let me see your crusade. Let me see your outreach. Stand up, I tell you, the church is a mystery. It's a mystery. All these elements of the armor are mysterious. There's no doubt about it. If you ask me, does this armor? I said, it takes a lot of thinking over the years. I've been analyzing. How does the belt of truth protect you from devils? How does, when you analyze and you go, you say, like, hey, if you like, put aside to the things that are coming, and the implementers of curses will be the second group that will be called. All sin leads to death. And therefore, all sin opens you to the agents of death. Acts 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be prosperous businessmen both in Jerusalem and expand to Judea and be doing contracts in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Your business. That's why we sing the song. Thanks for reaching. Thanks for saving. Thanks for choosing me. Yeah, there's a song like that. Thanks for reaching Judea. Thanks for reaching Samaria. Thanks for reaching to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power. Why? So that you will be a witness. You will be telling people about Jesus. You see, most of us, you know, we all think we are in a department of the church which is not into evangelism. So those who are focused on evangelism are focused. But we are in a department, we are focused on singing, we are focused on prayer, we are focused on church building, we are focused on what? So all together, evangelism is done. And no one is focused on evangelism. You've departmentalized your Christianity. But the Bible says, this ought you to have done, not neglecting the others. Yes. All right? Are you with me?
Yeah.
You shall receive power. And if you receive power and you don't use it, you are making the Holy Ghost like an idiot as he sits by you. And he has come to empower you to reach the lost. You are using Holy Ghost for falling down. For falling down in the church. Yes. With handkerchiefs and whatever. And you look very powerful. You are making an idiot of the Holy Ghost, who has come to empower you to be witnesses. And there's not even one drop of evangelism and one single drop of witnessing that can be ascribed to any to you in any form or fashion. Yeah. Matthew chapter 9. Soul winning. Yes. You know, we shouldn't make fools of God. And that is why abominations have filled the church. Seriously. Because a false balance is an abomination. So it means that once we are falsely balanced, abominations are going to be abomination. We are abominable. And abominations cover and engulf the church. I'm telling you. God calls those things that be not as though they were. That's faith. And without faith, you cannot please God. Faith is calling those things that be not as though they were. And faith calls a false balance an abomination. Whether you see the abomination or not, it calls those things that be not as though they are. And they are. They are an abomination. Yes, that's what it is. Why continue to make the Holy Ghost into a fool? He's come there to help, to do whatever, and you even ask him, what is he there for? What is he there for? We are not into soul winning. What are you here for? We are not into soul winning. Oh, here you know, here we are busy. Oh, we are busy here. Well, here we work. Our calendar is full. Yeah. Our calendar is full. We have so many activities. We have many activities. We have programs. We have garden parties. We have buffets. We have programs. We have conventions. Yes, over the year, our calendar is full. What are you talking about evangelism? What are you talking about going out? Yes. Holy Ghost, our calendar is what? Full. Do you wonder why the helper is not helping much? Do you wonder as you sack the helper? And the Bible says, now he that letteth will let. Like he that restraineth is now left to go away. The one who restrains evil. That when he that letteth will let is taken out of way, then the wickedness comes in.
Because the Holy Spirit, when he comes, okay, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm so excited. The Father has sent me. We are now going to reach out to the world. And you tell to the Holy Ghost, look, my calendar is full. I have so many things I'm doing. I have a convention. I have programs. I have this. I have that. I have that. Wow. And the Holy Ghost said, okay, see you later. Then he moves away. And now that he that letteth will let is gone, then shall that wicked be revealed. And look at the state of the church. Going around in circles with the same members criticizing themselves all the time. Churches are half empty. Oh yes. Many churches are happy for the social distancing so they can spread the chairs in the church and the hall will be full. Karipo raba sabarabo raba. They are happy for the social distancing. Yes. Soul winning, your defense, your great defense is a mysterious defense. Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But to you, the harvest is not plenteous. Oh, we don't have much harvest here. You have a lot of harvest. You have a lot of harvest. Oh, we don't have a lot of harvest. You have a lot of harvest. I don't have a lot of harvest. You have a lot of harvest. You have a lot of harvest. Here, there's not much harvest. You have a lot of harvest. I don't have much harvest. You have a lot of harvest. I'm not. We don't have. We harvested already. We don't have. You have harvest is plenty. Oh, I see. Here, there's no harvest. Maybe it's other places. Eli, you've made Jesus a fool. You've made him a fool. He's come. He said the harvest is plenty. Which harvest? Oh, there's no harvest here. We're okay here. There's no harvest. You have a lot of harvest. I have harvest. I don't have harvest. Yeah. Concentrate on it, but we don't have any harvest here. Our calendar is full and we don't have any harvest. You are talking about imaginary things. We don't see the problems you are talking about. Jesus dying on the cross. What is all this drama? You've opened your arms, draggled your legs, naked. Come. Why? What all this drama? It's not necessary. You are making a fool of God. I'm telling you, you are making a fool of the Holy Ghost. You are making a fool of Jesus. You are telling him he's a stupid man. I said, the harvest is, but what harvest are you talking about? We are okay here in this area. People are polite. There's some people greet one another. Good morning, bonjour, bonjour. Evening, you say good evening. What is the problem? Well, there's no harvest here. Harvest where? We're okay. No wonder the church is filled with many evils. Many evils. One day I was in a church. Pastor told me, many of my church members are dead. He said, many, many, many. He said, from cancer, many of my members are dead. Yeah, some years ago he told me. He said, I have so many people in my church who are dead from cancer of this kind. I think he took me somewhere. And there was somebody who was sick, something. The next time I heard, the assistant pastor who was well was dead. And then he also died. So all of them are dead. Yes. He said, many. All of them gone out of cancer. Yeah. Many things in the church. You know? Let's not make a fool of God. There is no purpose of the church. I'm telling you. I mean, honestly, if it's not to win souls, I don't see the use of the church because it's like a social club. It's like, and there are many, many clubs. There are many clubs. What are the clubs? Your old boys. Even think of your WhatsApp group. Boy Scouts, your old girls, old boys. Chess Club, Lions Club, Debaters Club, Rotary Club. Yes.
Kwehu old boys, these old boys. Voska. Volta Region Students Association. Voska. Many, many groups. Neighborhood Watch. Yes. There are many social groups. You know, there is a certain joy, a certain freshness, a certain blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is going to come when we don't make a fool of our God, a fool of the Holy Spirit. Karimu taramandala babandala baba. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they be saved? How then shall they call on him? How will it happen? Huh? That's the big question. How will it happen? You see, I am preaching about this from the perspective of you being defended from evil. And you can see that when you make a fool of, it's not nice to be made a fool of. Whenever I've been made a fool of, there's a feeling that stirred up in me. I have to control it. Because I've been made a fool of a number of times. People have fooled me. Like, totally. There's a feeling that rises up. If you like, try it and see. When you say that somebody has fooled you. Now, when we make a fool of Jesus, I don't know how he feels toward us. So you make a fool of me. I say the harvest is plenty. You say there's no harvest. There's no harvest here. You must be mistaken. Here, there's no harvest. We are okay here. We are okay where? Here. You don't know NATO? I don't know NATO. There's nothing like NATO. Yeah. How then shall they be saved? How are they going to be saved? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Preaching. Huh? Preacher to go to every one of these islands. Every one of these places that we've been praying about. How is it going to be possible? How? You tell me how. You tell me how. Angel, when the angel came to Cornelius and told him, you know, the Bible says alms and prayers went up. The angel of the Lord came to Cornelius and told him, send for Peter. I can't tell you the gospel. Send for Peter. Even though I'm standing here, just tell me how to be saved. No. Call Peter. You have to go to Peter. No angel can preach. It is only a man who can be a preacher. How then shall they be saved if there is no preacher? This is the only work we've been given to do. Here I am. I'm sitting and communicating with you. And say, I should call Peter. He will tell you what is about Jesus. Send men to Joppa and call one Simon whose surname is Peter. Carito rapata la baba. All those who inhibit their children from going on the mission, prevent their children from becoming preachers. Ah, the blood of islands, the blood of nations is on your hand. You watch and see. When I was in the Caribbean the last time, I said, let us give God one island. There are so many islands. Give him one island from out of the Caribbean for Jesus. Sometimes the island have like 40,000 people on an island. When you put all the populations, I said, let us believe God to give God one island, just one island for Jesus. We'll give him 40,000 souls. So, there's no harvest here. You check crime in the world. Check drugs, crime, murder rates in the world, all over. Go and see kidnapping, wickedness, and the mystery of iniquity is everywhere. And the saints, instead of rising up to put on this mysterious armor on our feet and on our heads, we are coming up with other things to do. Look, the making of the Holy Ghost into a fool as he's come all the way to come and empower us to witness. And you say, your calendar is full. Come later. You know how it is? You go see somebody and he doesn't even bother to come out. Yes. You feel like what? A fool. How shall they hear without a preacher? And finally tonight, John chapter 9 and verse 4. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This verse, I've always preached it in the day, but today I preach it in the night. The night has come, no one can work. We are all here, stuck in the mud. Go and have a crusade and let's see, where will you go? Shame. You're going to which country to do crusade? I always preach this verse in the day. Today I'm preaching it in the night. Six people are not allowed to gather in the UK. Six. One, two, three, four, five, six. If six people, more than six people gather, you are going to police. Yes. Go and have your crusade and let's see. Go and do your church and let's see. Today I preach in the night. And I warn you. If God allows another day, that must be the day that everyone should exit from departmentalization of evangelism and segmentation of evangelism and the isolating of evangelism to a corner and make it the main thing, the mystery of evangelism, the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. If you ask me, it's a mystery that I've thought of over the years. How does it protect you? But that's what I'm trying to share with you. Let's not anger God. Because when the night comes, you wish you had done more. Think about if you are going to die tomorrow. What would you wish you had done if you die tomorrow? What would you wish you had said, you had done, if tomorrow is your last day? Yeah. Naripo ramataba, matora mila baba, tombe ramamanda laba, kahusuta heshe baba zamanda. Every standing. Temola mandari dole mendelede, talome de devekede. For where there is no vision, my people perish. And where there is no vision for soul winning, my people perish equally. Thanks for reaching Jesus. Thanks for caring. Thanks for giving us this great mystery of reaching people everywhere for you. May we become the most anointed evangelists and evangelistic group of people anywhere. Always searching and seeking like our Savior. Searching for the lost. Mariko Ringo Ramba Rimigestere Bagamustandala Babada. Talo Ribabando Rimande Shimbandala Masamandala Baba. We give you praise, Father. And we give you thanks, Lord, that you raise up an army of evangelists, an army of soul winners, Lord. An army of dedicated people who will receive the Holy Ghost and walk with the Holy Ghost to the places that the Holy Ghost leads us to seek, to save that which is lost. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Marandal maronde meridolana marandali boke paramandali baba. Hala mama mama ma she baba baba ramandala baba dala harami odale mandali baba dala baba. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for this blessing. Put your hand on your heart. God is touching you with the mystery of godliness, mystery of soul winning and evangelism, the mystery of serving God. Ogaha la mosha barandala baba. For you shall serve and he shall bless. 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 You shall serve the Lord. He shall bless your bread. He shall bless your water. He shall take away sickness from your midst. And there shall none cast their yarn. And there shall be no barren amongst you. In the number of your days you shall fulfill. And he shall destroy your enemies before you. Ah, and they that fight against you shall turn their backs and flee. Marakatosamana. Such is the blessing of they that serve the Lord. And they that follow the vision and the hard cry of the Lord to win the lost of this world. Father, I thank you for somebody who heard and somebody who became a preacher somewhere and put aside his own visions and ideas and trust you to become a preacher of righteousness. Let the mystery of godliness be imparted to your children everywhere. May we see the mystery of your will and follow the mysterious aspects of righteousness and godliness all the days of our lives. We give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.